What's good? Zimbabwe Moshe Muriye Zimbabwe Lingali Chona Njani Mtokoza Moshe Kwazwai Muriye Zimbabwe. If you're tuning in right now, welcome from wherever you're joining us in this world. Welcome Muriye Zimbabwe. If you're tuned in right now, you're tuned into Live Talk, The Connection with Mike Hove, coming to you live from our studios in Washington, D.C. on Tuesday, the 11th of May, 2021. Muriye Zimbabwe, I'm your host, Mike Hove. Once again, Muriye Zimbabwe, if you're joining in right now, welcome. You're tuned into Live Talk, The Connection, coming to you live from our studios in Washington, D.C. Muriye Zimbabwe, I'm your host, Mike Hove. Tonight on The Connection with Mike Hove, we update you, our loyal listeners, on the COVID-19 pandemic responsible for taking millions of lives across the globe, thousands of lives in Zimbabwe. We're going to be focusing on an update on that, and of course, touching on how the COVID-19 pandemic is affecting Zimbabwean lives. But the conversation is not going to end there. Nasim Chirongwa, we're also going to be focusing on Constitutional Amendment Bill Number 2, a bill which was signed into law by President Emmerson Mnangagwa last Friday. That discussion is going to be coming in later on, so if you're looking to give your input, don't forget, you can still join us. If you're looking to share your comments, and of course, let us know how you feel, +1202619-2077 is the number to dial in with your Zimbabwe. The number again, +1202619-2077. We're going to be opening the lines for you, our loyal listeners. Now, for those that are streaming on our Facebook pages as we speak, Muriye Zimbabwe, we're streaming on our three Facebook pages, VOA Shona, VOA Ndebele, and VOA Studio 7. So, as usual, Muriye Zimbabwe, lingakhohlwi ukufitizela lapha ukubhala ukuthi like. Don't forget to press the like button so that we see ukuthi ngempela, Muriye Zimbabwe, si sonke like so. We're watching the program. Tiri tose, pano. Pachirongwa chedu chewe chidiki linga koshu njalo ukufitizela la paya ukupakutu share msakanganu kutinya paya pakanzi share kutuwa kutuone chirongwa ichino wandu wedu. So utaba isila lon ukushelo na mshanje Muriye Zimbabwe chirongwa The Connection mwine ni Mike Hove. Focus on tonight's discussion. Let's delve into it. First up, an update on COVID-19. Now, according to the most recent information released by the Ministry of Health and Child Care, as of May 10, 2021, Zimbabwe has 38,433 confirmed COVID-19 cases, 36,208 recoveries, and 1,576 deaths. The numbers again, 38,433 confirmed COVID-19 cases, 36,208 recoveries, and 1,576 deaths. Last night alone, Muriye Zimbabwe, 2,096 PCR tests were conducted, 14 new cases were detected, 145 recoveries. And the beautiful part, zero deaths. That's some amazing news right there. As we speak, the country currently has 649 active COVID-19 cases. Now, when we talk about how many people have taken the COVID-19 vaccine, to date, 529,360 people have taken the COVID-19 vaccine. But now, whilst on the same discussion of the COVID-19 vaccine in Zimbabwe, just last Friday, the World Health Organization gave the green light to the emergency usage of the Sinopharm vaccine. Now, this is one of the vaccines that is being used in Zimbabwe. This is, of course, a move that government welcomed with both arms. Now, before we head over to what government had to say about this, let's head over to a clip whereby officials of the World Health Organization broke down what's happening with regards to the Sinopharm vaccine. Let's take a look.
WHO gave emergency use listing to Sinopharm Beijing's COVID-19 vaccine, making it the sixth vaccine to receive WHO validation for safety, efficacy, and quality. This expands the list of vaccines that COVAX can buy and gives countries confidence to expedite their own regulatory approval and to import and administer a vaccine.
We have information that the vaccine is useful for people above 18 years of age. And as the person asking the question said, the information we have for people over 60 is still very scarce. There is no reason to think that the vaccine would behave differently in this older age group. And in fact, in many countries in the world where the vaccine is already being used, this group has already been vaccinated.
We've been in discussion with Sinopharm and all the major manufacturers about their potential production capacities. What we're interested in particular with Sinopharm is what they may be able to do beyond China to help with the global response. And there's been a lot of work by the company over the last months to help serve China's population, which of course is huge and will make a substantial demand on that.
Well, are you hearing there from officials of the World Health Organization? Sinopharm has been given the green light to be used, something that, once again, as I mentioned earlier on, Zimbabwean government has welcomed with both arms. Now, speaking of the Zimbabwean government, recently, my colleague, Blessing Zulu, caught up with Dr. Agnes Mahomba, who is the lead in the National COVID-19 Response Team, where they focus on what the announcement of the World Health Organization. Let's take a listen to an audio conversation between a Blessing and of course Dr. Mahomba.
Isu tiri kunzwa kufara chaizvo muno muZimbabwe kuti WHO yazopa gwaro rekuti aiwaka nyika dzose shandisa izvenyu Sinopharm. Takanga tagara tichitoishandisa nguva yakareba chaizvo, asi vamwe vachishushikana kuti ko muri kushandisirei vaccine isati yaapprovwa neWHO. Zviri kutokonfirma kuti isu mascientist edu weMedicines Control Authority of Zimbabwe, MCAS, wakanga watonyatsoongorora magwara iwavo wakagutsikana, saka takagutsikana tikamhanya nendima nevaccine iyoyi. Saka zvaitwa neWHO zvatifadza chaizvo, nekuti zviri kutoita yatingati endorsed zvatanga tagara tichiita nemascientist edu. Chirongwa chedu chekubaya nhomba majekiseni kana tingati vaccine yeCOVID-19 tiri kufamba zvakanaka chaizvo. Tiri kuona nhamba dzetiri kubayira vanhu pazuva rega rega dziri kuramba dzichikwira, saka izvi zviri kutifadza. Asi tiri kuda kuti nhamba idzi dzirambe dzichingokwira, nekuti tiri kuda kuti tibayire vanhu vese watingati vanenge vari eligible, kuitira kuti tiprotekte nyika yedu yeZimbabwe. Saka pane zvino ndinoti tiri kufara nekuti nhamba dziri kukwira, asi tiri kuda kuti dzirambe dzichingokwira. Tatenda.
Hayi, izulu ngandaba, sithanda ukubonga uDr. Agnes Mahomba uyasho ngempela ukuthi uhulumende uyathakazelela okusanda ukushiwo yinhlanganiso ye-World Health Organization besithi hayi leZimbabwe layenza okuhle besebenzisa i-vaccine Sinopharm. Yebo, ngempela. So yikho lokho okube kushiwo nguDr. Agnes Mahomba besithi uhulumende kamongameli Emmerson Mnangagwa uyakuthakazelela khonokho. But now, when we focus on the effects of COVID-19, before I head over to my first guest joining me, the United Nations recently released a statement whereby they were focusing on hunger in several different countries across the whole world, whereby they were talking about what is happening since the beginning of the COVID-19 pandemic. Without wasting time, Muriya Zimbabwe, let's head over to that clip, courtesy of the United Nations. All right. Unfortunately, it looks like we're having technology issues. So let's, of course, head over to my guest, and hopefully we'll be able to work around the technology issues, and we'll be able to show you that report. Joining me from live via Skype from Harare, Zimbabwe, is Samantha Morozoki, who is the founder of Kuchengetana Trust. Now, Kuchengetana Trust is one of these organizations that has been helping a lot of Zimbabweans during the COVID-19 pandemic by, of course, providing them with several different services, amongst them food on a daily basis. Samantha, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me again, Mike.
It's always awesome having you, always awesome having you. Now, early on, we're supposed to play a report that was basically the United Nations talking about how there's been a lot of, you know, COVID-19 pandemic has led to a lot of people in Zimbabwe seeking food aid, food assistance. Your organization is one of the people at the forefront helping people day in, day out. How have things been going for you?
We've been going on one day at a time. We face our regular challenges of just food shortages because, like, everyone is trying to recover from the whole year where they're not working or to full capacity. So it's a little bit strained, but we always try to make sure that every day we serve something.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know at some stage and point you guys were feeding hundreds and hundreds of people per day. How many people are you guys feeding now?
We've since cut down from the average of 4.5. Now we service about 2,100 people per day. Mm-hmm. This is between two meals, which is porridge that we serve to 16-year-olds and below in the morning. Mm-hmm. And then in the evening, we serve in a supper for both the children and those that are 60 years and above. Mm-hmm. We've since removed the middle-aged and only target the elderly, the young, and those that are mentally and physically challenged.
Is there a reason why you guys removed the middle-aged?
Yes, because we were getting overwhelmed with cooking for people. Mm-hmm. We approached them and asked them if they could assist us with the lighting of the fire, the cooking, just the logistics so that they get a meal every day. Mm-hmm. But no one was forthcoming, so we decided that we would cull the crowd and then we can deal with a smaller number. So we literally cut the numbers in half. Mm-hmm. So 2,100 is manageable with my 10 volunteers. We're able to deliver every day two times.
Jesus, yeah. That's a lot. 2,100 mouths to feed per day. That's really amazing work that you're doing. I am a little curious, since the opening, because at the beginning, of course, understandably so, one of the reasons as to why you are experiencing such high numbers is because of the fact that people were not working under the COVID-19 lockdown, and so you were there providing that service. Since the country has opened up, has anything changed with regards to people approaching you for assistance?
Yes, definitely there has been a drop in the number of people that have been coming through, either for food or for assistance with other issues, other personal issues. And it's definitely because now they're able to go out there and work on a little bit of a hustle or mm-hmm. their regular business that they were doing before the lockdown was announced. Mm-hmm. The majority of the people that we're dealing with now are people that had that have had ongoing cases of poverty mm-hmm. since way before COVID-19. Came into existence. Mm-hmm. Those are the people that we're dealing with right now. Yes.
Okay. Now, I'm also a little curious with regards to how you guys have been operating as Kuchenge Sana Trust. I know at some stage and point, like you mentioned earlier on, you guys were looking for assistance because, of course, feeding 2,100 mouths per day alone might be a heavy load. Opened up Kuchenge Sana Trust to, I guess, teach young people different skills where you could monetize those to continue with the project. How has that been going?
Well, we continue to hit dead ends, but then we're still hopeful. Mm-hmm. Our greatest constraint is that we do not have a place that we call our own, mm-hmm. Whether rented or whether it's for us, where we can then exercise those projects that we wanted to do. The last time I spoke to you, we'd come up with a proper plan on a piggery project together with a fish project. Mm-hmm. But the people that had promised us a piece of land to use have since backtracked on the promise, so we're back to square one, and we're looking for land or a place where we can literally go have these projects take off so people can actually do something with their lives. Mm-hmm. And we continue to get offers for poultry projects or someone wants to help us start up a garden, mm-hmm. but we don't have any way to do it. So we still come back to ground zero and hoping that we'll take off from there. The planning has been done to the last T, but then resources are a major constraint.
So how are you guys going about still feeding 2,100 people per day if resources are constrained? I can only imagine how many of these different foodstuffs you have to have. You need water to ensure that you can abide by the COVID regulations. All these necessary things. How are you going about making sure they're provided on a daily basis?
Yeah, it's been a huge challenge. There's a huge drop in the number of donors that are coming through as compared to last year. And we are thankful for those that have continued to stand by us. We have a few individuals who have continued to offer support mm-hmm. Financially, in the way we run the trust as well. So mm-hmm. those are people that help us stay afloat. And the new people that get to find out about us on a daily basis, because mm-hmm. some people have not heard about us, and when they hear about us, they'll always send a donation or send groceries or something our way. But on days where we don't have support from the community, then me and my mother will just make a plan like we did when we started the project.
Wow. Well, yes. God bless you and your mother, man. That's really amazing work. So Vichidiki, I know, Tomo Batanya ine Rimiro, my paninguwa yapa mam chanda pangwechete ne wangwe Vichidiki. I have a monoti my volunteers. Makambo chuzo pano pachirongo kuti mamchimbo apa oka stipend kaduku duku kuitira kuti vaone vade kudzoka vachikubatsirai vachiendera mberi vachikubatsirai zvino chirongwa chenyu chiri kufamba sei muri kushanda pamwe chete nevamwe vechidiki
hongu patai pekutanga tine vanouya kuzobatsira vaisvika 25 saka taishanda tese zvakanaka tikavatsvagirwo padiki pataivapo paeco cash asi nekufamba kwenguva vakaita vakudzikira havasisiri 25 izvezvi tine vechidiki vanosvika vana then vamwe 6 vanosanganisira vanhu vari 45 years and above tisingaverengere inini ndine 36 kwatoo nevanhu vakuru vakawanda kupfuura vechidiki ndofunga kuti nyaya yekuti zvikoro zvakavhurwa uye mukana yekuti vanotsvage mari yakativhurikesa kuti varambe vachauya kwedu tichivapa kamari kadiki diki kasingazokwanise kutenga zvese zvavanoda vakazoonekwa vakuendawo kunotsvagawo mari dzimwe nzvimbo saka pari zvino tasara tine mavolunteer 10 tisingaverengere inini we7
saka zvino tichiendera mberi nechirongwa zvii zvamakatarisira kuita kuitira kuti muendere mberi muchikwanisa kubatsira vanhu nekuti sezvatambotaura vanhu 2100 pazuva vanhu vakawanda kufinda muri mega chirongwa chichafambira mberi sei
tanga chitarisira kuti tichasuduruka mukugara tichibikira vanhu tichivapakurira chikafu totsvaga nzira dzekuti tiwane mari mukushanda tichishandisa maoko edu mukurima nemukurera kana nguruve kana hove towana mari yekuti ivo vanoshanda vanotambira iri mari vokwanisa kunotenga zvinenge zviri pamwoyo pavo vasingasarudzirwe kana samanda kuti nhasi muchadya machunks kana mangwana muchadya cabbage vanhu vowanawo kuzvirowo pachesi kuti aiwa tiri kushanda tine patiri kubata tiri kubatsirika vachiwanawo maskills kuzoitira ramangwana pamwe ndinomuka ndakafa vanosara vachikwanisa kuzviriritira samanda yaenda upenyu hwavo huchitoendera mberi hachifane kuguma nekuti inini kana kuti amai vangu hatisisipo panyika.
I like that idea. Teach a man how to fish and don't just give him fish. Thank you so much for taking time out to be with us, Samantha, as we wrap up here with our conversation because we need to move forward with the program. What last words would you have for the listeners to ensure that they can find you? And of course, if they need to help, what would you like?
Yes. If they need to get hold of us, my number is on WhatsApp and it's also available for calls. It's +263 78 670 1002. It is also the same number that I use for our EcoCash donations as well. The name that appears is Samantha Murozoki. We are also available on Twitter as Kuchengetana Trust. Our handle is at SEMALHO at Semalo. We give our daily updates there if you need to know what we're doing, how many days we've been in progress, and any information that you may need. And you can also access me on the DM as well. For those that want to come physically to see us, we're in Chitungwiza at 20926 Unit A Extension, Seke Chitungwiza.
All right. Thank you so much, Samantha, for taking time out to be with us. We really appreciate you, and best of luck with the program.
Thank you.
Well, Azuluga Ndabaliamuzwa Osakulayo, Usamantha Murozoki, she's one of the young people who are running an entire foundation, Limzule Ngempela, feeding 2,100 people per day. Nasis Kanyela, Abantu Abaswelayo, Enengi Labantu were facing different challenges, phansi kohlelo lockdown. To this day, abanye bayahluphana. It's difficult ukuthi bathole imisebenzi lokunye okucheneyo. So balokhe beqhubekela phambili turning to people such as Usamantha. Bedinga usizo lokudla lezinto ezichiyeneyo. So that was Usamantha basically breaking down ukuthi kahle kahle what exactly are they doing with Kuchengetana Trust. There's so many other different organizations that are helping Zimbabweans during this time with different things. So make sure ukuthi you can follow them. Follow Kuchengetana Trust on Twitter. Uza kutshela okuningi. Ufakile njalo inombolo zocingo. So if you're within the Harare area, lidinga usizo liyamuzwa ukhona osakhulayo. Now, before we head over to my next guest, Zulukandaba, earlier on I mentioned ukuthi namhlanje uhlelo, we're not just ending the conversation on the COVID-19 pandemic, but we're also going to be focusing on a big development that happened in Zimbabwe last week. Last week, Friday, we saw President Emmerson Mnangagwa signing a constitutional amendment bill number 2, which, of course, makes it into law. Now, what this means, the implications of it, we're going to be moving forward with our conversation, bringing on different panelists who are going to be focusing on that. But before we head over to the implications, this bill itself was met with a resistance across the board by several different youth-led groups, women-led groups, whom, according to some people, are supposed to be benefiting from this, but they feel as though what comes with the bill for them is something they're not happy about. Let's head over to a clip of Justina Mukoko, who is the head, the director of Zimbabwe Peace Project, and of course she's a human rights activist, who explains her thoughts in terms of Constitutional Amendment Bill number 2. Let's take a look.
This constitution was voted in by Zimbabweans in 2013. Why decide to change it now? Keep your hands off.
Yebo kambe Zulukandaba, liyamuzwa uNkosazana Justina Mukoko, human rights advocate in Zimbabwe, uthi isekelo sombuso umongameli wayengameli asayine lelo bheli. Yebo ngempela laphasa in parliament, laphasa njalo in senate, kodwa bathi bona njengabantu abalwela ilungelo likaZulu they are not happy. Mamtshinzi wakha mzware Justina Mukoko avari kuti aiwa iwo semunhanorura kodzero dzevanhu havasi kufara. Now before we head over to my next guest, Unikros Kajengo, who's joining us, I also want to head over to a clip that we have of Chris Nike, who is a legal expert who speaks about this from a legal perspective. Let's take a look at what old Chris Nike has to say.
To properly answer this question, one must consider the whole purpose of having a constitution. So nations will have constitutions so that they codify the will of the people. This is a constitution that is being made in a democracy. And democracy is about governance by the people, for the people, with the people. And therefore, when one looks at the content of the constitutional amendment, it is crucial or important to ask what it is that's in the amendment for the people. Is there anything that actually benefits the people in the amendment? And an objective assessment of the amendment seems to point towards the interests of those who hold power, the interests of the political elite. This is about concentration of power in the person of the president. That cannot, of course, be adjudged to be the same as promotion of the interests of the people. This is promotion of the power of the president, making sure that we have a more powerful president than the one that we had before. You look, for instance, at the whole principle of transparency. The constitution before amendments said judges would be promoted after being subjected to public interviews, where the public can see why a person is promoted from one judicial office to a higher judicial office. That, of course, is commendable. That is how it should be like. There should be transparency surrounding appointments to important offices. There's also the concept of meritocracy that was in the old constitution to say you cannot be promoted simply because the president likes you. However, under the new regime after the amendment, there is merit does not seem to be at the core of the promotion.
Well, Zulukandaba, you are hearing there from the legal expert Chris Amike. He was giving his two cents on Constitutional Amendment Bill number 2, which was signed into law last week by President Emmerson Mnangagwa. Now, let's head over to the development practitioner joining us live via telephone from Harare, Zimbabwe, Unikros Kajengo. Mr. Kajengo, welcome to the program, sir.
Thank you very much. Greetings to you all. Greetings to you, listeners.
Well, Mr. Kajengo, let's delve into it. Constitutional Amendment Bill Number 2, President Emmerson Mnangagwa signed it into law last week. But before then, this bill seems to have been met with a lot of resistance by several different youth-led groups, women-led groups, human rights groups. What's your thoughts on that, Mr. Kajengo?
Thank you very much, my brother. It is important to note that the constitution we are talking of, which is Amendment Number 20, Act of 2013, was put in place by the Global Political Agreement, which was born in 2008. Now, if you see, the thrust of the GPA was to ensure, you know, an environment that you know, results in peace and tranquility following the elections that were held in 2008. So now I'm just trying to highlight how this came into existence. Mm-hmm. This means there were missing gaps. And if you look at this constitution, it was less or more like politically centered constitution, unlike this amendment bill. This amendment bill is meant to address the current issues that are affecting the public. It is for the good of the public, because the issue of amending the bill is as a result of the demand by the public. Firstly, there are a number of clauses that speak to the amendment. First, we have got the clause that speaks to judicial, the clause that speaks to the president, and of course the running mate. The clause that speaks to the issues of devolution, the clause that speaks to youth issues, and of course, gender equality and equity, is a prerequisite, the sine qua non for issues of youth, women, people with disabilities, among others, to be mainstream to the national economy. And of course, the issue of devolution is the amendment. My brother, if you thoroughly go through this amendment, you agree with me that this amendment bill was voted into by both the opposition, the main opposition party led by the Honorable Senator Douglas Mwantora, MP, and of course some from the ruling branches.
Now, I am a little curious, Mr. Kajengo, let me just step in there for 1 second, because you talked about how it's for the greater good of the public. It seems to be something that, but however, if we look down to it, some of the things that come alongside these amendments, which is what people are protesting, is the fact that it gives a lot of power towards the president, something that they feel is literally against the idea of what a democracy is supposed to be like. What would you say to them?
Thank you very much. Yes, of course, I respect some people's views, but as far as I am concerned, and I'm of the view that there is nothing bad in giving power to the president, given that already the president is the head of state, already the president is the head of government, so already the powerful man. So if you say it's giving power to the president, I don't know what you mean. Already the president is powerful, already he's in authority. So I don't think that it's a reason by people who are saying this, but I can say it is an insane reason to say it's giving power to the president. Already the president is in the power, because it is the president. He appoints the ministers, he appoints, you know, the senior government officials, he appoints the commissioner general of the army. So now for us to say the president is getting a lot of powers, it's a statement that is coming from people who are ill advised in terms of the law, ill advised in terms of the current affairs, ill advised in terms of the needs of the country. So that point is very valid to say the president is in power. So red is powerful.
All right, let me hold you on the line, Mr. Kajengo. We're going to come back to you shortly. Let me bring in my other guest who's joining us. Joining us live via telephone from Harare, Zimbabwe, Muria, Zimbabwe, is Sikamai Bere. He's the director of ZimRights. Mr. Bere, welcome to the program, sir.
Thank you, Mike.
Well, you're hearing there from Mr. Kajengo there. He's very pro the amendment. He says, well, the president already had a lot of power. So what you're saying really in terms of the cries of this is giving too much power towards the president, it's counterproductive. What would you say to Mr. Kajengo?
Well, I think the first point is, from the world view of saying we are trying to build a democracy,
mm-hmm.
and democracy is built around strong institutions,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to strong individuals.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that we've got three arms of government,
mm-hmm.
which are the executive, the parliament, and the judiciary.
Mm-hmm.
So if anybody believes in democracy, then they certainly cannot say it's okay to collapse all the other three arms of government into the executive. That's not the definition of democracy. It mm-hmm. is autocracy.
Mm-hmm. Now, I want to delve a little deeper into that idea. I know last week your organization, amongst other human rights organizations, held an e-protest, I guess, that saw hundreds of Zimbabweans across the world in attendance. The biggest thing that you were all protesting is what, I guess, has come out of our Constitutional Amendment Bill number 2. As one of the clips we played earlier on of Jessena Makoko saying, do not touch the constitution of the country. Walk us through all that. What was the purpose of that, considering the fact that the bill already had been signed on Friday?
Yeah, so when we held the rally, the bill had not yet been signed,
mm-hmm.
but of course its signing was imminent.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's possible that I think many people may have missed this campaign, but this is a campaign that was actually launched by the Human Rights National Council in June 2020,
mm-hmm.
at a time when it was clear that the government was planning to amend the Constitution. So mm-hmm. we launched this campaign, the End of the People's Constitution campaign, and we produced quite a number of endorsements and engaged communities in dialogue for these papers that we submitted to Parliament. But what we then saw with the Constitution rally was, you know, an outpouring of solidarity among citizens, seeing that the government has decided not to listen to reason, including its own consultations that were done by Parliament. And people came together to say, we need to make a statement, to say, we don't want what you want. If the president is going to put his signature on that bill, he needs to do it knowing clearly that he is violating the people's will. And I think the rally with thousands of Zimbabweans participating in made that statement very clear. And she saw on the rally, we ended the rally with a point of action because this is thousands of Zimbabweans who gathered and needed to do something right then. Which was then released in the petition, which were the three key demands
mm-hmm.
directed towards the three key arms of government.
Mm-hmm.
The first one being the president to say, hands off our constitution, that signature that we put on the bill. And if you listen to Jessena says, politicians, keep your dirty hands out of our constitution.
Mm-hmm.
Because the constitution is the fruit of the labor of the people. Trying to push for good governance. Even Robert Mugabe, in his angle, tried to resist the movement for a democratic constitution. And he failed and ended up with the 2013 constitution. So the people were saying to the executive, hands off our constitution. But they were also saying to the parliament, and that petition is very clear, to the parliament, you have made a terrible error that is end. Change your mind and advise the president accordingly. And the third was directed towards the judiciary because one of the amendments captures the judiciary in many ways. And we were saying to the judiciary, we are saying to the judiciary, do not become politicians. Don't be used side, politicians, remain a defender of the Constitution, because the judiciary is the last hope of defending the Constitution. And as you know, on the 16th of May, the Chief Justice is celebrating his birthday. And there was a clear message, I think, from the rally to say, we wish him a good return. And we don't want him to act like a politician. He's an honorable man. He should realize that Amendment Bill number 2 is the president's gift to him and to the entire judiciary. And any judge with his fault should know that this is a poison to come and issue.
Let me hold you on the line for 1 second, Mr. Bere, and then we're going to come back to you shortly. Just hold on there. Muriya Zimbabwe, we have a video of a young lady who was one of the participants at the e-protest that was organized by Zim Rights, We Lead Trust, and other different organizations last week, who speaks her mind in terms of constitutional amendment, Bill number 2, which was signed into law last week by President Emmerson Mnangagwa. Let's head over to that clip, courtesy of the, if you're looking to watch the full broadcast, you can head over to Zim Rights' Facebook page. The young lady is Amanda Temlochwa, who is the lead at Magamba Network. Let's take a look at that clip.
So it's a way of solidarity and just expressing my views and my reaction to the constitutional amendment, though particularly what happened recently with Parliament. Parliamentarians and the Senate actually voting positive for the amendment. I think I just wanted to react and say the process for me is a bit of a concern. And I think the reason why I want to focus so much on process is because this is the same process that's going to happen even with the Patriotic Bill. So if we don't look at the process problem right now, if we don't look at the potentially the discrepancies and the way that this whole process was carried out, we might actually come back and sit down talking about a Patriotic Bill that would have been made effective later on. So the first thing I wanted to talk about was the issue of the cluster of, you know, the proposed amendments. You find that there is like a whole list of amendments that are put together in one cluster. So what that does is that it doesn't allow flexibility for you to reject some of those things or accept some of those things, because at the end of the day, it's about saying yes or no to the entire bill. So the reason why I feel that this was more a strategic this is a strategic approach from the side of government, potentially specifically ZANU-PF, because when we had a conversation with women yesterday, members of parliament that are female, they were talking about how there is a need to appreciate, for instance, the women's quota is something that women have, because if you take that away from women, you won't have something. So they're saying that they said yes to this amendment, though, because they wanted to retain the 66 that women have while they're fighting for 50-50. And while I have reservations and comments around that issue of the quota system for women, one thing I wanted to specifically speak on in this is the fact that they are specifically picking out a clause in the entire amendment and saying, we're saying yes to this, but you're saying yes to an entire bill that contains so much change that affects people. So I think the first point of call should have been the issue of parliamentarians actually contesting multiple levels of the entire bill. The second thing was the issue of the input from the public. It's discovered that last year in June, the government rolled out the consultation process in a COVID-19 situation where you find that in all of the places, we're expecting a maximum of 50 people to actually participate in this consultation.
Yeah, well, Kambisi Lukandaba, you're hearing there from young Mantate Mlotshwa. She is the program lead at Magamba Network. Vaka Jengo, are you still on the line?
Yes, I am, definitely.
Right. Manzwa zvambo zvatsaurwa navabere, mukanzwa zvekare vechidiki vari kuzvitaurirawo ka vachiti iva havasi kufara nezviri kuitika. So I'm a little more curious, as a young person, you're very standing by it, you're positive, and you're for these amendment changes. What is so good about this, considering the fact that there seems to be an outpour of young women and human rights organizations that are saying, they're not happy with that. So what is so positive that's making you want to stand by it as a young Zimbabwean?
Thank you, my brother. Thank you very much. You know, what we ought to understand is that young people are affected by a number of problems that range from social, political, and economic. One of the challenges faced by young people is rural to urban migration, because they are trying to look for better pastures. But now, because of this amendment bill number 2, it will give rise to what we call a devolution. Now, because of devolution, it means young people are in a better position to end anything through the available resources within their areas of origin. So now it means devolution will create opportunities and will create some synergies that will go a long way in supporting youth empowerment cause. That's first point number one. Secondly, issues to do with youth mainstreaming, as I said, Zimbabwe Constitution, Amendment number 28 of 2013, Chapter 2, Section 20, talks about youth mainstreaming. It is just that a constitutional provision, now it's now being implemented because this Amendment Bill number 2 will now enforce the all state institutions, including Parliament, to ensure that there is a quota that will be reserved for the young people. Hence, that is why I said earlier on, it is a prerequisite, and of course, it is a sine qua non for the young people to support this cause, because there are issues, in particular mainstreaming, is now has been taken into consideration. So in short, my brother, what I'm saying, young people might celebrate this amendment bill because it is empowering them directly. Secondly, issues of gender inequality has been a global phenomenon. That is why even in terms of SDGs, issues to do with gender equality and equity has been cited as a cause in terms of the development discourse. So women empowerment, gender equality are a vehicle towards sustainable development. There is a nexus, my brother, that do exist between development itself and the empowerment of women. So now coming in on board of the clause that speak to inclusion of women, women mainstreaming in the mainstream economy, I'm sure a normal person is to agree with me that there is nothing bad in celebrating the empowerment of our own mothers, our own sisters, and of course, our own daughters. So now, that is why we are saying, from the youth perspective, it's a step in the right direction. Even that, it is in symbol. It is simply saying, let's give them a chance, referring to young people, referring to the women. I mentioned the issue of devolution, where young people can get employed in their areas of origin. And of course, operating and working within the means, their own means. So, in short, I don't see any harm with this amendment. And of other clauses, you know, which seem to be a bit controversial as far as most of those, commentators are concerned, are issues to do with other clauses that speak, say, to the running mate. The running mate, I'm sure, they were engineered by the opposition by then in 2013, because those oppositions, I'm sure we had three parties, MDC led by Mutambara, MDC led by former Prime Minister Tsvangirai and Zanu-PF. So I'm sure the West were pushing that agenda to have running mates. It was a regime change agenda. Because if you look, my brother, I'm sure you agree with me that the running mate issue is a Western style. It's a Western style. We ought to believe in democracy, government of the people, by the people, and for the people. Because we are saying these MPs who voted this into a bill were elected democratically by the people. So they are representing their constituencies. And of course, even the senators, they also supported this bill, meaning to say it is by the people and for the people.
Mm-hmm. All right, let me hold you there on the line. Let's see. With abantu bathini kumakhasini ethu, siyasakaza sikhuluma nje Zulu kandaba. We're live on our Facebook pages ku VOA Ndebele. Asibone ukuthi abantu bathini. Nangu Simbarashe Chingobe uthi lijona njani lapho. Hayi Simbarashe, hayi siyaphila, wena unjani? Siyabonga ngokungena kuhlelo. Sikhumbuzo umlalazi uthi akube njalo Zimbabwe. Mlalazi, siyabonga ngokungena kuhlelo. Richard Moyo uyabhalutsisa, ubona brother Mike, unjani Mr. Moyo? Siyabonga ngokungena kuhlelo Wellington Vunduthi uyafana kuzohlatshwa abanye labanye ngokuzokhethana la ngezepolitiki. Siyabonga ngombono wakho Vundla. Simbarashe avanywe ranzi rudziviriro tinorikurudzira kwazvo mudzimi yedu corona atidi. Hayi siyabayabhala ngempela zulukandaba abafisa ukungena kuhlelo lingakhohlwa ukuthi you can join us ngokusifonela +1 202 619 2077. Let's go back to Vabere. Vabere, muchiri popa runare.
Liripa.
Right. Murukunzwa zvirikutaurwa ka. Saka ndiruda kunyatsonzwisisa. My first understanding in this context is there nothing positive about this amendment bill? And if there is, why would people still want to go against it?
Yeah. So you see, what you see in this bill likely is a wholesale erosion of democracy. As the people agreed and voted in 2018. You will see here and there cosmetic issues that are meant, you know, to fool people like Mr. Koleda. But you see, we are not fooled by those things. Mr. Nkwawe said he talks about the empowerment of women. You see, real empowerment is rebuilding the economy. It's not killing and smuggling gold. The case of the young man who was caught at the airport in South Africa. If that is Zingore's idea of empowering youth, recruiting them into criminality so that they are exposed to that kind of thing, I don't like that kind of empowerment. And that's the kind of empowerment that we witness when you take away the power of the parliament to play an oversight role on an executive, and when you take away the power of the judiciary to adjudicate independence. That's what you get. Mr. Ngoret spoke about the regime change. The only people who have committed regime change in this country is the current government through a military coup in 2017. Citizens who are expressing themselves saying to politicians, hands off our constitution, are not regime change agents. If Mr. Ngoret wants to see regime change agents,
Mr. Kajengo,
he must look at the Mnangagwa administration. Those are the regime change people who committed regime change in 2017. The idea of thinking that the quota system is going to strengthen women is not. Those women whom they choose, and there is no competition subjected to them, all they are good at is to go and sing at the airport in the sun. That's not real empowerment. Real empowerment, if you look at the documentary that has been produced by the Athletic Times, about the way young people and young women are living in Mbare hostels, that is the real state of affairs that happens when people allow their government to erode human rights through concentrating power in the hands of one man. Let's not be fooled about that. It's very clear. What we are witnessing is the institutionalization of autocracy. And there is nothing to celebrate about that.
Vakajengo pindirai apa, muri kunzwa zvekutaurwa kana vabere. Vari kuti hapana chiripo chekucelebrata. Patinotarisa nyaya iyi yekuti muri kuti pano bhiriri, or now I guess an act or this law is going to lead to youth empowerment and women empowerment. And he's not alone there. There's a lot of other experts that have said putting more numbers in parliament doesn't really lead to the change that you're requiring. It's about the value or the power of parliament and not necessarily just having more people in parliament. Pindrai Papo Mungati.
Pere is saying what he is saying on emotions. He's too emotional. Because this is a national issue. The issue of national constitution is a national matter, which is for the Zimbabweans. Because I don't see any reason why one is to say the constitution is problematic, given that it is trying to address some issues that are, you know, causing, you know, economic problems. For example, the issue of unemployment, the issue of, you know, issues to do with governments, for example, the issue of running mates. I don't see that the running mates issue are applicable to the Zimbabwean context. Those are Western style of leadership. And there is no harm, there is nothing bad for the president to appoint his or her own deputies, given that actually if the president happens to appoint his or her deputies, as I said, the week that is gone by, that it will help in ensuring issues to do with layout. So,
let me stop you there, Mr. Kajengo.
Yes,
let me step in there for 1 second. Hold on.
Let me finish. It's okay. I am saying, now this amendment bill has got a number of clauses.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now we don't base on a single clause. If one says a single clause has got some issues, which one says it's not in line with his thinking, then you can say you have to brush off everything. No, we are not saying that.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to look at what is good, what is best for the country. We must put our country first before anything. So Mr. Bere is speaking based on some emotions. But in short, as I mentioned earlier on, my brother,
mm-hmm.
that this amendment bill is a demand-driven initiative by the public through members of parliament. That is why even the opposition, led by our leader in parliament of the opposition, Honorable Monzora, the MPs from the opposition voted for this because they got the mandate from the people. The same is applicable to the ruling ZANU-PF MPs. They voted this into a bill because they were mandated by the public. It is the people who send the MPs from various political parties to say we need this amendment. They are for the good of the country. So, my brother, I think he has never read it. I think he needs to take his time, he has to peruse, he has to go through it gradually and comprehend what is in it. Not just, you know, attacking or just, should I say, opposing for the sake of opposition.
Right.
But we need...
I am still a little curious there. There's a term that you used there that that really piqued my interest. You said it's about loyalty. In this context, it's loyal to who? Is it to the citizens or is it to the president?
The president is the head of state. The president is the head of government. There is nothing bad in being loyal to the head of state. Take, for example, at home. Being loyal to your father, being loyal to your mother. No, I mean doing that. So, actually, the president is for all, both the opposition and those in the ruling party. And those without political parties, they are for the president. The president is for all. He stands for all. He presents all. So there is nothing bad in being loyal to the head of state and the state itself. For example, my brother, if somebody is calling for the imposition of sanctions for his country, automatically it means one is not loyal to his country. But now, if the president says, we ought to defend our sovereignty, we ought to defend our state, we ought to defend, you know, our own people, that's loyalty. So anyone who is loyal to the president is loyal to the state, is loyal to the government, is loyal even to himself. If you're not loyal to the president, it means you are not loyal to your country, you don't love your country. Because the country has got its own, you know, presiding officer, which is no one other than the president.
Vabere Pindrai Gatinzoi Maundri.
I don't think we need to be distracted. Democracy is not about being loyal to corrupt. Let's be very clear about that. Democracy is about power to the people. And assassin Yekuti or this view was demanded by the people cannot be backed by any evidence. In fact, the evidence that we have is to the contrary, that we had millions of people who voted for the 2013 constitution. And we had thousands of people who spoke out during the consultation by the parliament in the run-up, in the consultation public on public days of this year. Now, that's the evidence that we had. And then we had a few selfish politicians who decided that all that does not matter. But look, even if we were to ignore those numbers and those forces, can you tell me why, under the sun, someone would say, subjecting a judge to the public investigation is a fair thing? Rather, they should just be appointed, you know, by one politician. Why would that be such a bad thing? Look at the parliament. The parliament, you know, my brother here says people were making demands through the parliament. Now, why on earth would the parliament want to take away its power to play this role? Because you see, one of the roles of the parliament is to play oversight role over the president. Now, it's like the parliament, you know, voting itself out of the role that it is constitutionally mandated to play. So we need to look beyond lying loyalty into, you know, real democracy by the people. As you see, back here, come my mind. Kushandisama millions. Ichivaka Zimbari Paramende, Rikuwaka Uko Mount Ham. And yet, in principle, we are destroying the institution of Parliament. As you see, back here, yet in Parliament, in principle, we are taking away their independence. As you see, Batire, Kusera, Tembera, pretend of Hungas, no Farira democracy. And yet, in principle, we are destroying the key institution of democracy. Hakuna, there is no any other voice in this country that invites sanctions more than a government that decides to destroy institutions of democracy.
All right. Well, gentlemen, there's only about 2 minutes left. So I guess within a minute, I'll give you a minute each to wrap up here. Chotanga Nemivabere, now that, of course, it's signed, it's into law, how do we move forward here? How do we ensure that, I guess, citizens like yourselves in future cannot fall into the same mistake? And of course, I would like to understand, why should the youth of the nation care about these developments?
Well, I think, you know, speaking as a citizen myself, I think it's very important that citizens do not give up because politicians have stolen, you know, their democracy and mutilated the constitution. Robert Mugabe tried this kind of thing, and in his case, the current government is really playing with fire, and I think is an issue that is not ending because it goes to the heart of democracy. And I think going forward, it's very important for ordinary people to now begin, if they never cared, if they thought these issues to be constitutionally my issues, issues for NGOs, I think it's time now they should take this very personally. They need to read more the information that we are sending out. The importance about that rally was clearly to send the information out.
All right, so I'm going to have to hold you there. I'm going to have to hold you there, Babere, so that we give Vaka Jengo a chance so that he also wraps up before we wrap up the program. Vaka Jengo, Pindrai, within a minute, how do we move this forward for the youth of the nation?
Thank you very much. I don't have much to say, but what I can simply say is the young people, keep on soldiering on, keep on moving on. Actually, the country is in safe hands. Your future is very bright. This amendment bill is for the good of the nation. It's for the good of the young people. It's for the good of the next generation.
All right.
We just trust in our leadership. It is our bill. It is our constitution, and it is our law. So, actually,
unfortunately, I'm going to have to wrap up here. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you so much to Mr. Bere for joining us. Thank you so much to Samantha Morozoki for joining us. Mure Zimbabwe, our time up is here. But we're going to be meeting same place, same time next week. Pano Pachirongwa Chenduchewe Chidiki. Mure Zimbabwe, I go by the name of Mike Hove. Thank you so much to everybody that wrote their comments. At Big Mike 3 on Twitter and Instagram if you're looking to chat with me. Mure Zimbabwe. Bye-bye.